Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the Golf Pro Show podcast. My name is Gary Shaw, assistant professional PGA trainee, as we're now known, in Naas Golf Club. And with me is...
Liam Grehan, assistant or PGA trainee, should I say, in the K Club.
The K Club, very good. So, Liam, you've had an interesting day today. You're not long in the door.
I had a pretty memorable day, to say the least, yeah. I won't forget this one for a while.
I think you've told this story about 20 times today already.
I got
already.
A few phone calls when people heard, yeah.
So do you want to tell us real quick what happened?
I had the nice fortune of being drawn opposite Richard Knightley and three-time major winner Padraig Harrington today.
Padraig Harrington. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. So before we delve into that, there's a few other things going on. So you've got Cyprus in a couple of weeks, is it?
Actually coming up and flying out on Sunday. Today's Tuesday, so I'm buzzing for that one now. Aphrodite Hills will be quite a different experience to the conditions we played in today, so I'm looking to it for an improvement of about 25 degrees difference between today and then, so it'll be nice next week to play in a bit of heat.
Just for perspective, today was like a yellow weather warning, so it was pretty bad, wet and windy in the Island Golf Club. But how do you shift your game from how many miles an hour that wind was to Cyprus conditions?
Yeah,
in like a matter of a week.
Playing in conditions like that isn't great for your golf swing. So
What could it do?
You can get steep on it, waiting the left, trying to hit these low balls to keep it out of the wind, and it's not particularly good for trying to shoot a low one around a firm course in Cyprus.
Right, so you're gonna have to bring your ball flight back up.
Yeah, well, no, that won't take much. I've grown up doing that, Gary. It's not going to change overnight.
Mullingar men have no problem with that.
Yeah, hitting it over trees and stuff. So
raised greens and.
Yeah, no problem.
Right, that's cool. So you feel ready to go for Cyprus?
And... Yeah. Like the practice probably out there will be quite important, adjusting to the conditions. I played there before, so I know the course. But it's adjusting to the firm fast. Might do a bit of putting on the wooden floor here just before we head over.
And if all goes well in Cyprus, where does that lead to?
Potentially getting into Irish Open, Wentworth, British Masters. There's a lot to play for. So we'll see how it goes.
Rubbing shoulders with more major champions.
Yeah, we might get the teed up with Padraig again.
Yeah. So we both have exams coming up as well. In about 2 weeks.
Yeah, just the week I get back from Cyprus, I'll be, so I'll have the head in the books when I'm over there, you know, just to get my head off the golf and into study mode, you know.
It's hard to get you off the books, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a model student, you might say. You know?
You're up in Minute Library when we're all not here,
Yeah, that's it.
And we also had the Masters, which was only after finishing up the other day. It was a good tournament. What
sure
you think?
It was, to be honest, Ram kind of ran away with it in the end. So it would have been more interesting if Brooks was closer. And in fairness, I have to give Phil credit. He was unreal.
Yeah.
That was, it just shows he has
wasn't
the game.
Wasn't expecting so. That, really.
No, none of us were.
No.
Albeit he's gone to live, but it was it was class.
And what about Koepka? Did he get tired at the end or was he...
He's only used to playing three rounds, that's all.
Yeah. A lot of people saying that.
Yeah, but he... I don't know, his head wasn't in the game as much as Ram was.
He was leading that, wasn't he, going in?
Yeah, he was. He was, yeah. Ram's mindset was class. Like, he missed the green on 9 and came back off. And his reaction, he didn't lose the head. He was just got on with it, got it up and down mid-par. He was really good.
He can be a bit hot.
Yeah, I was expecting him to react a bit more. And like, he can come back after reacting like that, but he was really calm and collected on the back nine on Sunday.
The only slip I seen him have was the 18th tee, I think. He pulled it left and it came back out to the middle.
So. Yeah. Well, look, you're about to win a major championship. Your head might be hard to stay 100% present.
Yeah. Very good. So, yeah, that's really all that's going on. So let's have a little chat about your experience with Mr. Harrington
today. Yeah.
How did you feel getting ready for today? Was it difficult to stay present yourself and not get too carried away with the people you're playing with? And how did you manage that?
Today for me, like, I wasn't particularly getting how would you say it? It wasn't about getting ready for today, really.
Right.
It was about the learning experience to play with Padraig, and then, like, I'm getting ready for next week, really. So I wasn't necessarily hyping up the round today, and like the conditions weren't allowing for decent scoring. So it's a different skill set needed to shoot a score today versus what I'll need next week. So that wasn't really on my mind, but it was trying to learn really today for me and take it all in, because it was some opportunity to get thanks to Gary Murphy for making it happen with John and the Hillary Society.
Some opportunity. And like when you were going on to the first tee, was there a big crowd or how did
there was know? Probably 20-25 people around. A few members came out. I'd say now if we had a 25 degrees and sunny, it would have been a different story. We would have had nice crowds with Padraig playing, but still the members turned up. Plenty of people on the first tee coming up for photos of Padraig and getting things signed and everything. It was amazing how good he was with people, and he was really generous with his time. And like, I can only imagine trying to tee off in a tournament and people asking for a photo here, there, and everywhere. Now, it wasn't it's a golf society, it's a elite feel and all that, but he wasn't getting ready to go play in the Open, like where people are roped off and away from him. But he was really generous with people today. I was impressed.
Do you feel he was quite chill today?
Really chill, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you expect that, say, when he's playing the Irish Open? Or?
No. He'd be definitely more switched on. And now, when he was playing golf, he was switched on. But beforehand, he would have done more prep, and he would have kept his distance from people, I'm sure. But I don't know. Well, no, I'm fairly sure.
Yeah. But you saw his nature, like.
He was really cool today now.
And like, do you mind people watching, or how does that change how you play, or, you know, with crowds and?
Crowds are good to play in front of.
And noise.
Adds a bit of excitement. It adds a bit of, can help add a bit of focus when you're a little bit out of it. It's just like, there's a bit happening here. It just helps that way, I would say.
I actually much prefer people watching. It just dials you in a lot more.
Yeah, like there's more context. You're in the proper environment. Driving range sometimes when you're away from it, you're halfway through a bucket of balls.
Yeah.
Hard to focus as much as when you have to pull off that shot there and then in front of a crowd. It's way better for you.
Yeah.
Way better for you.
Was there anything that surprised you about Padraig that you weren't expecting? Were you like, Jesus, I didn't think that would be
As a person, I was really impressed with him, how friendly he was, how generous with information, advice.
He had a great tan, didn't he?
Yeah, he hasn't been stuck in Ireland in March or whatever, when we had the wettest March on record.
Weather warning.
Yeah. He was sure 2 weeks ago, was it, in Houston, he was just outside the top 10, and the winner of that one would have qualified into the Masters. So he wouldn't have teed it up with me today if he won that one and was playing in the Masters, I could tell you. But he's still competing at an unbelievably high level.
And when you've seen him play and prepare for the shot, execute the shot, after the shot, did you notice that an extraordinary or very different to elite amateurs and professionals that you've played with? That can stand out.
Long game wise, like, today was a tough day to see any difference, because you don't know what people are trying to do in that wind. It was so hectic, 50 mile an hour winds. But around the greens, he was really impressive. He was dogged and grinding out hole and tricky putts across the slope in the wind. Just gave them his full attention. He was really focused. Yeah, he didn't leave anything to chance. He was really engaged. And it was like, when you think about, like, what was on the line? There wasn't much, you know. It was a game of golf in the island and brutal conditions.
Like, was he reading the chips from all angles? Was he spending a lot of time?
Yeah, loads. Now, he's not, I'm not saying he was slow, but he was thorough. He was really thorough in what he was doing. He was efficient and thorough and committed. Committed was kind of what the way I'd describe him.
So would you say at the end of the round, he left very few shots out there?
Oh, no, he left a lot out there compared to, the day was brutal. So he shot 76, I shot 79. It wasn't exactly, there's a lot of shots, but that was the conditions as well. But it was more than the result, it was the effort and the process of doing it. He didn't change what he was trying to do. He was trying to hold every putt. He was trying his hardest on each shot, which was class to see. Like,
was there any shot in particular that he hit particularly poor, and how did he handle that? How did he react differently? Or
the only bad shot down 17, it wasn't even a bad shot, it was, the wind was hard off the right and he just pulled it a little bit into the bank. Yeah. And it kicked back, so you got it was into the sand dune and kicked back, hit it out, hit a wedge out onto the fairway, and then hit on to about 25 feet and two putted for bogey. But when he hit a bad, he was just calm, he didn't react, he was
right.
Cool, he was,
yeah.
I don't know if that's any different when he's under the gun or anything, but he seems really collected, and yeah, he was good.
I think Tiger has the 10-step rule, doesn't he? Where he can get out of a system, but after 10 shots, he's back.
Yeah, like Potter was relaxed today, and he was chatty. He was generous with that stuff. But I wouldn't say now he was. When things went wrong, he wasn't going mad.
Was there any shot in particular then that blew you away? It was like, wow, I didn't see that or expect that, or how the hell did he even play that? Like,
I would expect it from Potter because he's so good, but he hit a seriously good chip shot left of 7 in the island.
Right.
Off a downslope to a green that's kind of 10, 12 feet above him, over a slope, he hit a pitching wedge off the downslope into the bank, up and over the hill down to 6 inches, like tapping. Yeah, like he didn't have to mark the putt. It was, you know, it's always nice when you're chipped, you don't have to pull a marker out of your pocket. And he did that 3 times in the front nine, I think.
Was he using much loft around the greens, or was he chipping runs, or?
He, bit of both. He's a 64 in the bag.
Wow.
Yeah, that was cool. But he says he tries to use it, well, practice with it sparingly. He was kind of saying how playing with such loft isn't great for your chipping. I just start de-lofting it to get it flying lower, but it's not, you don't want to be de-lofting them shots. You want to be using the bounce more. So he was talking about that, how it's a super club out of the bunkers and all that, but he said it can be detrimental to your chipping if you play it all the time. Actually, cool one was, he was playing one of the tailor-made wedges with the interchangeable face. Do you remember them?
No way. Yeah, you take out the groove.
Do you remember them?
Yeah.
So like, they're out how many years?
4 or 5 years, did it?
Oh, more than that even. I remember them in Desi Morgan's shop back in Mullingar.
Oh, that one? Jeez, that's a while.
But I was asking about him. He helped design it, or he did design it.
No way.
So it's a tailor-made club, but he designed it with a consultant for Wilson. And the consultant obviously wasn't contracted to sell it to Wilson, or Wilson weren't taking it on.
Yeah.
So he went to TaylorMade and they bought it off him. Bought the idea.
Off Podrick?
Well, off the consultant that Podrick worked with. Okay. Podrick, I don't think he was looking for it now, but it's just cool that wedge, he actually designed it.
Wow.
And he's like something like 400 spare faces for it. So he's playing the same wedge for years, but it's a fresh grooves every time he plays.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's cool, yeah.
He was messing around at home, he said, a few weeks ago, a few months ago.
So he's using Wilson wedges, or?
Yeah. Yeah. But he's that one tailor-made one.
One tailor-made, all right.
Yeah, the Wilson 52, that was a 58, and then he did 64 as well.
Wow.
What
driver? Tailor-made?
No, a Titleist.
Titleist.
Yeah, you can't say that.
Can't say that, no. Yeah. Big WS in the front of it.
Mm. But, Wilson head cover.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And do you feel you learned a lot then throughout the 4 hours or 5 hours?
Oh, yeah. He was generous with advice. Like, he gave advice to myself and Richard Knightley.
About your own game?
Yeah. Like, I was getting a little stuck today. I've been kind of fighting the driver not spinning enough.
Mm.
So I was probably getting a little underneath trying to help in the air. But he was talking about taking practice swings like he does. Trying to speed up the arms to exit further left. That my body's quick and my movement's pretty good that way. But it's just a little bit out of sync. Get my arms more in front of me, exiting left, neutralise the ball flight, neutralise the path.
So your arms were Falling behind?
Falling behind a little, getting a little stuck. Okay. Which made sense, like, with tricky left-to-right wins today and stuff, so getting that more in front would help you squeeze them out there.
Did you talk to him about any of the Bradley Hughes technique you're working on?
No. I didn't bring any of that stuff up.
Surprise. You bring it up everywhere.
I'm just intrigued with that one.
Yeah, definitely.
But...
yeah.
Yeah, what else would I have learned from him? He was just impressive with people. Like, he was really patient. Like, the amount of people asking for autographs during the round and taking photos, and he said no to nobody. Like, he was really good.
Is there anything now that you're home and ready for bed nearly, is there anything you would have wished you asked and you didn't? Thinking back.
I suppose how he would prepare for the Masters, say, them quick greens. Because I know, say, coming from Irish greens in the winter to go to Aphrodite Hills next week,
yeah,
they're going to be 12, 13, whereas I'm used to playing on, I don't know what, just because we've had such a wet winter. So yeah, probably should have asked him a little bit more about that. But it was interesting hearing. I asked him about how he preps for majors. So I was kind of getting at that.
What did he say?
And he was, well, he got into how he preps at tournaments first. So he was saying he doesn't practice on a tournament week unless he's out of contention. Okay. So if he is working on something technical, unless he's not in with a chance of winning the tournament, he won't be working on it when he's in a performance environment. Mm. But he can sometimes like to test out things in a performance environment just when he's not playing for the trophy necessarily. But it was cool to see because he's putting himself under the gun while working on something that he's kind of heightened senses, really learning a lot. Mm. I thought that was cool. I know, like, I've been chatting to Peter Arnott in Scotland a bit. He talks about Tiger prepping for the majors and PGA Tour events back in the day.
Right.
Hitting draws with three woods to prep for 13 in Augusta.
No way.
Back then, yeah. So, like, learning that draw shot that he wouldn't normally hit just for Augusta. And actually, we might practice them shots in the range. He's practicing in the middle of a PGA Tour event. Just shows the level he's actually at, wow, you know, and the knowledge base. So, like, Padraig's doing that as well, which was cool.
Mm.
I don't think I'm quite at that level. I have to get fairly elite to be able to do that. But it's really interesting.
Was there any interesting stories that he shared?
Actually, sorry, continuing on that, he was saying about working on technique at a tournament and that, and he says he tries to work on technique, and when he is working on technique on a week off, or if he has to, he'll do it in his hotel room away from the range, that it's hard to switch off from that technical mindset hitting balls when you have been hitting balls thinking technically. So if you're thinking of a certain move in your backswing, if you're thinking about that when you're hitting a shot in the tournament, it's very hard to actually execute and perform under pressure. So that was pretty cool to hear.
Okay. Who hit it further today?
Today we were actually quite close. I asked him about the driver, what kind of spin he'd be looking for. And he was like, he likes to play around 2.5, which is a lot higher than kind of what we're all here, the talk going around. You're like 2,200 of these high launch bombs, but it's very hard to play at that.
Right.
So he was saying how sometimes he'll hit his miss hits further. If he hits them high on the face or off the toe, knocks the spin off, goes down to 2,000, then it goes miles. But playing at 2.5, if he's swinging it fast enough to get 180, 185 ball speed, it's still going out there a long way, but he's a lot of control in the flight. Whereas I kind of feel I'm spinning it a little low at the minute. I'm going to add a little bit of weight to the back of the driver and see if it'll increase the spin.
What's low?
Below 2,000 in some of them.
Really?
Yeah. First tee shot playing with him today, a little bit high in the face, trying to drive it low, and it just dives over the air. So I'm like, don't like that one.
I know the feeling.
So getting a bit more spin on the ball and actually using that to control the flight better.
Mm.
That was interesting.
Yeah, we're using the GC3.
JP Feeney from Simulated Sports gave me a land of it to try it out. So.
We were getting good numbers. David Marshall was trying it as well. And
yeah, he was like getting 181 ball speed.
Serious speed.
Yeah.
Hello, David from Nice. How are you? but yeah, savage speed. Yeah. A lot of gym work there, though.
Padraig spoke actually about that's kind of what DJ and Rory would have been playing at on course, be low 180s ball speed.
Wow.
That's a nice place to aim for, which is pretty fast. So
it's like default.
Yeah.
Yes, very fast. Very fast. Need to hit that gym. Glenroyal, Glen Royal, sick of seeing me. Very good. That's cool. And the final scores then, so you shot...
I shot 79 and he shot 76.
And Richard?
Richard shot 77. It was a tough day.
Mm. And the winning score was...
73, I think. Yeah, so like it was an elite field. There was maybe five, six former Walker Cup players. I think Niall Carney and Conor Purcell shot 73. So it was a pretty good field.
I think you were saying something about writing notes after...
Oh, I'm going to write down a lot of notes. Like, even just thinking back to some of his shots, like, we were similar enough on 9. We both had, like, 144 in wind hard in off the left. He had a 7-iron.
Right.
Like
144.
Whereas he'd hit a 7-iron 185 normally. Right. And just how hitting these little half shots. But, like, it wasn't even a half shot for that one, but really controlling the flight. Like, I then, because it was just after him, I hit a 6-iron because he came up short with a 7-iron from 144. So it shows you how long it was playing. And
yeah, I think taking notes after experiences is so important. Like, I always think back, I mean, I used to get a lot of coaching off Neil Manship when he was in Maynooth University. And after a lesson, I'd always, well, not always, but the first couple, I thought, God almighty, we did nothing at all. Like, you know, I felt like we didn't change anything. And then I'd take out the pen and paper and I was writing for like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, nuggets and nuggets and nuggets that I didn't even realise that I'd learned throughout the hour until I actually sat down and realised, Jesus, I actually learned a ton there.
Yeah.
There was so much depth of knowledge being shared and learned throughout the hour. He created that space for learning, and that's something I've always remembered and tried to do when I'm coaching as well. It's sometimes less is more, but it's very specific changes that are precise. They're, what would you say? It's definitely quality over quantity.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In giving to the student. And then the student really learns so much more from that quality environment.
Yeah, like it's a... It's kind of more tailored to the student and letting them, facilitating them learning, I suppose, is the big thing.
Yeah.
And you can do that from any experience. Like, I'm going to try and learn a lot from Padraig today and just seeing how he's so dogged with hauling out, like, tough conditions and that. Like, he's going through a full routine, demanding him a lot on the line, but he's going through his full process. He's really, like... He doesn't give it away. If the ball misses, it misses, but it's not through lack of effort. Okay. He's given it 100%.
Yeah.
100% focused. He was really good that way.
What was his routine like? Like, say, with the driver? Did it take long, or was it...
He's quite quick. He pulls the trigger fast. Like, right. He reminds me of Paul Kelly sometimes, pulling it really quick. Like, he kind of sets up to a bounce and whack. Like, he'd...
Wow.
Yeah, it happens very quick. Like, he'd be...
And up to that point, is there a lot of process there?
No, it's pretty fast. Like, it seems quite reactive and athletic. Like, he's asking questions. James was caddying for him, asking questions about the hole, the shot, like, seeing where the line is, where's the room, that kind of stuff. But that's like the Vision 54, the think box, and then he was straight into the play box. Bang.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really cool.
Wow. And so going forward then, just to wrap it up, going forward into your next competitions and from this experience today, is there anything specific you want to bring into your game?
I think, well, it's probably more in practice and playing compared to tournaments. Tournaments, I'd be good at being dogged and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But probably doing it, like, well, I try to do it, but I really... brought it home again today that, like, this guy is playing in the biggest tournaments in the world and he's here on a cold Tuesday morning in the island and he's trying his best to hold that. That's just just reasserts it like that. Jeez, that's important, but it's no fluke that he's really good. Like, it's, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Remember a fella who, he was a member in Stackstown when Padraig was growing up, and I think he was only 8, 9 or 10 or something. And he was just saying he used to practice so much. I mean, he was practicing on the green, the putting green, I think, at the time. And it was like a storm. It poured rain and poured rain. And Padraig used to go under the tree and hit chip shots from under the tree, just as a bit of shelter. Nothing would stop him.
Wow.
It was just...
wow.
He was going to practice, and that was,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he has in the back garden now, so yeah.
Yeah, so that's it, guys. That's really all we want to talk about today. The magical experience.
With, yeah, pretty cool day.
Mr. Major.
This one.
Mr. Major. So thanks for sharing that with us, Liam.
Thank you, Gary.
Hopefully we'll have more stories like that to come in the future. And thanks for listening, everybody. And episode 5 will be coming... who knows? Soon enough is the plan.
Soon enough, hopefully.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Okay, thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for tuning in to the episode. You can find us on social media, including Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Feel free to DM us on those platforms, and we'll be happy to talk to you there.